Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatya Deshatarine. My name is Grahila Das, somewhat of an unusual name. I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1975 at Philadelphia Rathayatra. At that time, 1975, there was quite a big influx of new devotees. The Radha Damodar traveling party was going strong and recruiting many new members. So there were quite a few initiations, and Srila Prabhupada would have sannyasis pick out the names of many of his new disciples. So my godbrother, who went up before me, Prabhupada, he read his name, the name that the sannyasi had picked out. His name was Bhakta Tim, and Prabhupada read the name and said, "No, your name is Tejo Prakash Das." Then I came up next, and Prabhupada looked at the name the sannyasi had picked out for me. I'm not even sure who the sannyasi was. And he looked over to him and he said, "Where did you get these names?" So I was a little apprehensive. What kind of name am I going to get? Because my name was Bhakta Gary. So I was thinking, oh, gee, that's a good one. It's going to be Gora something or Giri something, you know. But so he said, "Your name is Grahila Das." And I had no idea what he said. And of course, I was way too bashful to ask him to repeat himself. So then later, the names were printed out, and it took me years to even find out what it means. And then even about a year ago, I looked it up. I looked Grahila up on the internet, and it said that Grahila is in Dasya Ras, in Goloka Vrindavan. He's one of the servants of the cowherd boys, along with Ruktuk and others were mentioned there. So the last 2 days, we've had many moon-like devotees sharing their nectarian pastimes that they had with Srila Prabhupada. And of course, I came much later, and so I'm just like a glowworm compared to them, but hopefully I can say a little something. When I came, it was very difficult to get close to Srila Prabhupada. He was always surrounded by many dandas and GBC men and temple presidents. When I joined in the Miami temple, and he came there in February of 1975. He was very much in the mood of appreciating. Appreciating is actually an understatement. He was actually quite overwhelmed by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda during that little trip. He went from Venezuela, and there he spoke about the mercy of Gaur Nitai. He came to Miami. We had Gaur Nitai deities, and he again spoke about the mercy of Gaur Nitai. And then he went to Atlanta, and there is it's quite famous that he became overwhelmed when speaking about the mercy of Gaur Nitai and exhibited some ecstatic symptoms of tears flying out, like different things, as it's stated in the second verse of the Gauravastika prayers, that the spiritual master has so many ecstatic symptoms. Generally, Srila Prabhupada didn't exhibit them, but on occasion he did. So some of the themes that were presented in the last couple of days, a few devotees spoke of Srila Prabhupada's effulgence. So when he came to Miami, it was a few buildings in a grove of banyan trees. Actually, there were, well, I think just two banyan trees, but a banyan tree can cover a lot of area. So he drove out in the back of the complex, and there was a Cuban man there who was delivering milk to the temple. And when Srila Prabhupada got out of the car, my godbrother said to me, "Did you hear what the milkman said? He said, that man is glowing." So I was, you know, a fairly new devotee, and I was thinking, well, if the milkman can see Prabhupada glowing, why can't I? I mean, it must be that all the devotees here can see Srila Prabhupada glowing, but I can't. So I was thinking, I'm extremely fallen. Even the milkman can see Srila Prabhupada's effulgence, but I can't. There's another instance in Dallas where Srila Prabhupada was coming through the airport, and one worker there, he was a black man. So he said, "That man, he's shining, he's shining." So, and then there's a book written by Vyasaki Prabhu called Radha Damodar Vilas. I don't know if any of you have ever read it, but if you like to hear stories about the pioneer days, it's really a nectarian book. So he tells a story. This was in August 1969, I believe. Vishnu John was always the last one to sleep at night and the first one up in the morning. So oftentimes when all the devotees were sleeping, he would still be up chanting bhajans or chanting japa or studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And one night this new devotee, he wasn't initiated yet. He later became initiated as Mohanananda. So he was up with Vishnu John Maharaj. He wasn't sannyasi yet. But Prabhupada was there in, this was at La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada was there, and he had one room which was very long and narrow. And Vishnu John had the idea, "Let's go take a peek at Prabhupada, see what he's doing." So the word that was used in the book, or Mohanananda, it was a quote from Mohanananda. He said, "We crept." So I take that as a literal meaning that they were on their hands and knees and they just kind of snuck up to Prabhupada's room and opened the door. They said they saw a light coming through the cracks of the door and under the crack of the door. And they thought it was a big spotlight or something. So they went up and they opened the door and they crept in. And they saw that light was emanating from Srila Prabhupada. And it just was like incredibly bright. And they saw Prabhupada and tears were just shooting out of his eyes across his table. And Vishnu John said, "He's speaking with Krishna." And they slowly backed out and they realized that they had intruded on a very private moment of Srila Prabhupada. So that's a few stories regarding Srila Prabhupada's effulgence. Indradyumna Maharaj explained about getting some nectar from Srila Prabhupada in the form of the dust from his lotus feet, drinking the Charinamrita, and I think the other one was taking the Maha Maha Prasad. So when I was in Philadelphia for initiation, there was a Rath Yatra going on. The temple was in a house, and you'd walk in the front door, and then there was a room on the left, and that was the temple room. And it just had an ordinary door. It was just room enough basically for one person to go through at a time. So Srila Prabhupada was in the temple room and he had just finished class and he was getting ready to leave. But one devotee was offering his dandavats right across the doorway. And so Prabhupada came to the doorway and he was standing there waiting. And this devotee was taking a really long time to offer his dandavats. And the sannyasis, they were ready to like physically remove him, you know, poke him with their dandas, get out of the way. But Prabhupada held them back. He said, "No, no." And he patiently waited. And then he said something to Srila Prabhupada. I didn't know what it was. But later on, at that time he was Bhakta George. He later got initiated by Ravindra Swarup. because he was always coming and going from the temples. He never really remained steady enough in one temple to get initiated. But about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I befriended him in Alachua, Florida, and I told him that story. I said, there was this guy who was just like laying in front of the doorway, you know, and and Prabhupada was waiting and waiting for him. He said, that was me. So he told me another story. Oh, and he told me what he said. He said, excuse me, Prabhupada, I'm just trying to get close to you. And Prabhupada said, okay, you know, like that. So he told me another story. He was always making some scheme to get close to Prabhupada. So in Philadelphia, he noticed that all the security people for Srila Prabhupada were wearing these black armbands. So he got a hold of one, and he put on a black armband, and he starts walking up towards Prabhupada's room. And just as he got near Prabhupada's door, Srila Prabhupada came out. And everyone hit the floor. And somehow or other, the person carrying Srila Prabhupada's briefcase put it down. And Bhakta George picked it up. And he said, right this way, Srila Prabhupada. And so he led Prabhupada down, walking right in front of him to the temple room. And our temple president from Miami and the Sankirtan leader, there was a balcony at the temple. They were up in the balcony, and they see Bhakta George walking in right in front of Srila Prabhupada. And how did he do that? You know, because everyone was trying to get close to Srila Prabhupada. It wasn't such an easy thing in those days. And there's this uninitiated devotee. He's just kind of prancing along. And then when Srila Prabhupada offered his dandavats to the deities, Bhakta George kneeled down behind him and put his head right on Prabhupada's feet. And people, you know, the sannyasis nearby, they were shocked. What is this? What is he doing? You know, and again, so then he told me that Prabhupada turned around and looked at him and he said the same thing. Excuse me, Srila Prabhupada, I'm just trying to get close to you. And Prabhupada said, okay. So before Srila Prabhupada came to Miami, all the brahmacharis were painting the buildings. I think there's a statement that Prabhupada asked one time, why is it everywhere I go, it smells like fresh paint? But anyway, that was one way to get the buildings painted, is when Prabhupada came. So practically speaking, for 3 days, we hardly slept because we were painting all the buildings. And Srila Prabhupada would give Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. He would sit underneath, this was in February, the weather was really nice, it's a nice climate there in the winter. And he would sit underneath the banyan tree, and just like Sutta Goswami, you know, he would speak Bhagavad Gita. And I was there in the audience, and I was very tired, you know, being up painting for so many nights. But I was able to stay awake during the lecture, and I was feeling a little, some pride that I was, hey, you know, I haven't slept hardly, and I'm able to stay awake. And so then I closed my eyes. I was getting tired, and I was at the stage where your eyes closed, but your head hasn't gone down yet. You probably know what I'm talking about. So maybe for 2, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, my eyes were closed. And when I opened them up, Srila Prabhupada was looking right at me. So Srila Prabhupada had a way to always curb your pride. And another theme that was spoken about yesterday by Malati, or actually that was this morning, Malati was saying how Srila Prabhupada is authoritative. So my first contact with Srila Prabhupada was with Krishna book. And if you know Krishna book, in the very first one or two paragraphs, Srila Prabhupada says how the demigods went to the ocean of milk to pray to Lord Vishnu. And so he says on some planets there are on this planet there are oceans of salt water, but on other planets there are oceans of milk and oceans of sugar cane, oceans of oil. I think he used the word oil but maybe referring to ghee. And immediately, this was my first contact. I had never even seen devotees or experienced the chanting of the holy name, at least the congregational chanting I hadn't experienced. I had received a flyer. Actually, before that, I met a Bloop devotee in a town where there were no devotees, and he gave me the address to the Los Angeles temple and to the Miami temple. So I wrote to Los Angeles, and they sent me one little pamphlet on chanting Hare Krishna. So I had been chanting a little bit, maybe two or three times. I sat and just chanted the Maha Mantra for a minute or two. Where was I? I was speaking about chanting the mantra and, oh yeah, Krishna book. So when I read that, yeah, there are oceans of oil, and I said, well, this person really knows. He's not like, if you read scientific articles or textbooks, they'll say the universe as we know it. And you can tell there's some speculation there. But when I read that, I said, wow, this person really knows. And immediately I accepted his authority that there are oceans of milk, there are oceans of sugarcane juice. And immediately I accepted, he came across just as so authoritative, and I accepted as truth everything that I read after that. So in 1970, this is another story that's described in Radha Damodar Vilas. In 1970, there was somewhat of a crisis within ISKCON, and that is that some devotees had been minimizing Srila Prabhupada's authority. Things were going on like, I think it was in 1969, Rath Yatra, Srila Prabhupada wanted to ride on Subhadra's cart. And there had been a little disturbance on that day, that there was some racial disturbance, that they noticed that all the devotees were white except maybe one or so. And they thought this was racism, that black people weren't allowed into the movement. And they noticed that the children of some of the devotees were riding on Subhadra's cart, and they were all white. So they wanted their children to get up. Their children wanted to get up on the cart, but because they weren't from devotee families, the devotee in charge said, no, you can't. And then they went home and they got their parents or their fathers, and they thought that this was a racist thing. So some violence broke out, and they were actually throwing rocks and stuff at the cart. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada said, I want to ride on the cart after everything had died down. And one devotee said, no, Srila Prabhupada, it's too dangerous. They actually restricted him from getting on the cart. Some other instances were that his mail was being censored. His mail would come and some of the secretary or some leading devotees would decide which mail to give to Prabhupada and which mail not to give. And sometimes devotees would request to see Prabhupada and they would be denied. And there was another incident where the ISKCON press had printed something and they said A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami on it. They didn't say Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. So all these things added up, and Prabhupada took it as... Oh, another thing was that Achyutananda had been in India, and he had been associating with Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. And some of the godbrothers were saying that, Prabhupada, that... we object to this title, Prabhupada. It's only for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And anyway, Swami Maharaj is better. And anyway, there are so many gurus. He's not the only guru. So Achyutananda had written back to America and shared some of these things. So Srila Prabhupada felt very, very concerned. And He was in Los Angeles, and he said, "So, you don't need me anymore? Okay, I will go to India." So he left for India in that frame of mind, very concerned about the future of his society. So this is one, he ended up correcting the situation. But minimizing the authority of Srila Prabhupada is a disease which actually can destroy ISKCON. And we know from the history that when Srila Prabhupada left this planet, that disease also popped up again and under the zonal acharya system. See, and part of that was our fault, the rank and file devotees. We didn't know, the only thing we knew of Guru was Srila Prabhupada. So when it was, when we were informed that now there are 11 gurus, we thought, well, hey, they're just like Prabhupada. And that was a mistake. And, you know, in the beginning, then there was simultaneous Guru Puja. Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja was going on in the temple. And the new gurus were being worshipped simultaneously. And we, you know, we pretty much accepted that they're on the same level as Srila Prabhupada. So that wreaked havoc in our society. Many of those original 11 fell down. And many of our God brothers and God sisters, they left ISKCON. And they're either joined some other Vaishnav group or something like that. But anyway, we know now that the mistakes that were made, and we can very clearly see that ISKCON is once again becoming a very, very healthy organization. And so this is essential for the future generations of devotees to maintain the health of ISKCON. Is we can never minimize Srila Prabhupada's authority as the founder acharya of ISKCON. And like one devotee was telling me, he said, if you do these 8 pranayams then every day, then you'll never have any health problems. So this is the formula for the health of ISKCON, is to always keep Srila Prabhupada in the center and to never minimize his authority. And not just that we worship him every day, but we embrace his teachings. And we never minimize the standards that he set for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This was another thing in 1970, is that some temple leaders and temple presidents, and they were preaching that it's more important to do service than to chant your rounds. But see, that wasn't coming from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, you Americans is, I forget the exact word he used. I think he said your disease is that you always want to change things. So we always have to be very, very careful to keep Srila Prabhupada's teachings intact without changing them. And then ISKCON will always be very, very healthy and continue to grow and benedict the world with the supreme mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.